Welcome to the Practical NLP Podcast with me, Andy Smith. You can find show notes for this episode at nlppod.com, where you can also get a free Practical NLP audio course when you sign up to get the Practical NLP Tips newsletter. Let's have a look at what happens when we chunk down on buying strategies. Remember the TOPE model? Test, operate, test again, and exit. I've put it in the show notes again this week. Some strategies have other strategies nested within them, like subroutines in a computer program. So a step in the operate stage might involve calling up another strategy which might run round its own TOPE loop several times before it exits and returns to the main strategy. Part of the skill of strategy elicitation and utilization comes from knowing how to chunk strategies appropriately and what level of detail to go down to when you work with them. Let's look at the buying strategy as an example, since everyone buys things, and if you sell things for a living or even for fun, it's useful to know about. We can chunk the buying strategy down into four component strategies. The motivation strategy, which is how you become motivated to buy something. The decision strategy for investigating and selecting from the available options. The convincer strategy, which is how you know that this item is the right one to buy. And the reassurance strategy, which is how you know that you've made a good purchase so you don't suffer from buyer's remorse. We've already considered what makes a good motivation strategy. Let's have a look at some typical problems in decision strategies. One problem might be that there are not enough options to choose from. Sometimes people get locked into an exclusive or mindset, where they think that they have to choose between only two options, this or that, and they get so fixed on these two that they exclude all the other possible options. If they like one of the options, then you'd never get to hear about this one. People would only come to you for coaching or advice if they don't like either of the options, and they'll say they can't decide between them. Alternatively, they might keep generating options with no way to exit the strategy. Another problem might be in how they represent the options. If some rep systems are excluded from their representation, they might miss some information. You're never going to decide which food is going to be best to eat if you're just going on a visual representation. So representing the options in all rep systems will give you better quality information. As we've already said, when you're comparing two or more options, visual representations are going to work best, because you can put two pictures next to each other and compare them. Another possibility is that the information the person needs is right there in front of them, but they're not going external, looking outside themselves, to get it. Or circumstances may have changed, but they're not revising their options to reflect that. Also, they may not have a representation of consequences, so they can't do an ecology check. The submodalities of their representations may not support this. So, for example, you're going to make better decisions about what to eat if the pictures in your strategy are moving rather than still, so you can see beyond the moment to what the consequences of eating something tempting but unhealthy might be. The final problem that shows up in decision strategies is in the area of evaluating the options. This could be to do with the person's criteria for selection, which comes from their values. They may be using inappropriate criteria for the decision, so they might be evaluating a laptop just on what it looks like, rather than what it can do. Or they haven't prioritized the criteria, so they don't know which factors are most important. There may be a clash in their values, which is a classic recipe for a dilemma. Either they can't make a decision, or you get serial incongruity where they go one way for a while and then go the other. Or there just isn't a kinesthetic step in the decision-making strategy. Emotions are the primary way that we evaluate experience. The kinesthetic step in a successful decision strategy is the one that tells you that you've got the right choice because you feel good about it. Or alternatively, that this is the time to stop evaluating features and benefits and just make a choice. You may remember from the emotional intelligence segment earlier on in these audios, the story of Elliot, the corporate lawyer who lost the ability to feel and consequently couldn't make any decisions at all because ultimately nothing felt like it mattered. So these are some typical problems in decision-making strategies. The decision strategy is about choosing between different alternatives. Another component of the overall buying strategy, and something that's also used in a lot of other contexts like deciding if a person is good at their job or deciding whether you believe in a particular statement, is the convincer strategy. This strategy is about how you convince yourself that something is true. For example, that an item or service is worth buying. It may be called up more than once in the overall buying strategy. The person may use it to decide if an item deserves to be one of the alternatives that the decision strategy chooses between, and maybe again, once the best item has been chosen, to make sure it's actually worth buying. There are two elements to the convincer strategy, both of them easy to elicit informally. And in a sales situation, you'll want to do at least a quick and dirty elicitation of these, even when there isn't the opportunity to do a full elicitation of the decision strategy. The first element is the convincer channel or convincer representation filter. As the name implies, this is the representational system that the person prefers to use when they're gathering the information they need to make a final decision that they're convinced about. It might be visual, seeing something, auditory, they hear about it, kinesthetic, they need to have a hands-on experience, or it might be more of what's called a digital channel, they might read something or research it on the internet. An easy way to elicit the convincer channel is to ask an innocuous question like, how do you become convinced that someone you work with, or it might be someone that works for you if you're asking a senior figure, is good at their job? Possible answers you might get include, I have to see them do it, or I hear good things about them, or I've read the reports about them, or it might be, I have to work with them first. Visual, auditory, digital, or kinesthetic. This leads into the next element of the convincer strategy, the convincer mode or convincer demonstration filter. This is essentially about how many times something needs to be demonstrated to the person in order for them to be convinced. So following on from the previous question, you could ask, how many times does that person have to demonstrate competence to you before you're convinced? There are four types of answer you could get. They might assume competence from the start. This is known as the automatic convincer because they're always convinced. It could be that competence has to be demonstrated a number of times. It seems that for most people, three times is about right. Some research by Kurt Carlson and Suzanne Hsu, based on observing gambling behavior, and also on how sports journalism talks about winning streaks, suggests that if a team wins three times or a stock goes up 3 days in a row, it's perceived as being on a winning streak. Extra wins or extra consecutive days didn't have any further impact on that perception. It could be a period of time that's a crucial factor. They won't make their minds up until a week or 2 weeks has gone by. Or maybe they're never completely convinced, no matter how many times something is demonstrated. This is known as a consistent convincer. So in selling, if you discover that someone has a three-time convincer strategy, you'd want to show them three items to choose from or give them three opportunities to experience the product in whichever channel they prefer. Often when you ask the question about the convincer channel, the person will give you the convincer mode as well. They'll say, I have to see them in action at least three times, or I have to work with them for a while. The convincer mode also has a bearing on how you feel about yourself and how confident you are. Ask yourself, how do you know that you're good at something? That's it for this week's podcast. Next time, we'll learn something that I know will be a life changer for some of you, the NLP spelling strategy. Remember to get your free practical NLP audio course by signing up for the newsletter at nlppod.com. where you can also buy back issues of the podcast and other great NLP knowledge products. See you next time.